Thanks for being with us on the Coca-Cola Cooldown, a two-part edition tonight. I'm Jack Heron, Derek Rucker, alongside me at John Cain Arena. Ruck, we've just seen Melbourne United book their spot in the Championship Series, winners over Illawarra, but boy, were they pushed all the way.
They were, and it was just a great fight throughout this series from Illawarra. They will rue the loss in Game 1 when they dominated, had a huge lead in the fourth quarter, but couldn't close it out. Ultimately, that was a deciding factor. They had to come in here. They knew Game 3 was going to be a tremendous challenge to try and beat a team with this type of talent on their home floor in a Game 3. It proved too much, Jack. The professionalism, the experience, all those attributes that Melbourne United possessed came through when it mattered most in the fourth quarter.
How much of a factor was fatigue for Illawarra's big names in the second half? And not singling them out because they tried their very hardest, but Tyler Harvey, Gary Clark, Sam Froehlich in particular, it just seemed as though they didn't quite have enough petrol in the tank at the end.
Well, that's a product of Melbourne United's depth. They just kept throwing bodies in different matchups at Clark and at Froehlich. And while Clark and Froehlich obviously played great and performed well in this series and were dominant in games 1 and 2, in this game they just weren't able to derive enough juice to be able to perform at the level and provide enough points and rebounding and all that stuff that they brought in games 1 and 2 down the stretch in the second half. They just couldn't muster it.
The value of having one tough, nuggety guard who can score at the other end, worth its weight in gold in this league. What's the value when you've got two?
It's tremendous. And both those guys, they penetrate exceptionally well. They pass the ball well. One's a little bit younger, one's a little bit more experienced. But then they have a knack for understanding when to get in there and drive the ball, and they finish at a high rate inside. And then the two other guards are slick with it. They can shoot. They're clever with the basketball. They understand the big moment. Melbourne United's four guards in this game pretty much determine the outcome of this game and, in essence, the series.
So Melbourne have been pushed all the way. They finished on top of the table. They did pretty much what they liked for most of the regular season. Not all, but most of the regular season. Is this a good thing for them to have been pushed so hard and to have played so many minutes leading into the Championship Series?
100% it was, and they needed this. They came out sluggish. I still don't think Dean Vickerman would be satisfied with this Game 3 performance. Obviously, he's happy to move forward, but I think we're starting to see that defensive ability and talent come to the fore. In the second half, they did a really good job, like I said, of just wearing Illawarra down. Now they get to sit back, plan on who their next opponent will be. It will not be easy. It will not be easy at all, but they're there now, and they get an opportunity to bring a championship back to United.
Do you think in some respects it was not a kick up the backside, but just a reminder that this thing's not going to be given to you?
It's not, and if anything from this season, Melbourne United know that it's been extremely difficult to win basketball games. They've dealt with a myriad of injuries, they had all types of things, but now they have their full complement of players. Yeah. Is it gonna kick in? Because if it kicks in, if they can take it to another two levels, it's gonna be very hard for anyone to beat them.
They still haven't lost back-to-back games this season.
It's tremendous.
Remarkable stat.
And so many teams around the world try and make that their mantra. We're not going to lose two games in a row. Everybody tries to say that when you go into the season. But to actually pull it off is tremendous.
From an Illawarra point of view, that they'll be devastated right now, obviously. In some respects, could have been what-ifs. Free throws were a big factor for them tonight, 63%.
They wouldn't go away. I thought they were going to die and get blown out in that third quarter, but they hung around. They knocked down shots. They were scrappy. They got loose balls. And Justin Robinson came up with a big performance to carry them when things were looking grim. But ultimately, they were probably either one or two pieces short, or they needed Tyler Harvey and Gary Clark to come up big. And that's not placing any blame on them. They had a tremendous burden to carry. I said coming into this series, if Illawarra were just able to win one game, that's almost the equivalent of reaching the championship series for the year. It was a tremendous season for them. They should be incredibly proud of what they achieved. and now they have a core, they have a foundation upon which on which to build for years to come.
And a big part of that foundation is Sam Frohling, who his reputation, he's already one of the best Australian bigs in the league. But by the end of this series, Ruck, his reputation taking on Joe Lualachul and Ariel Hook-Porty, putting up the numbers that he did and having the impact that he did, that man made a name for himself in this series.
He certainly did. And if there was any doubt about his ability and his talent coming into the series, it's been quashed, and he quashed it. There was no hype about what he did. He went in there, put up numbers against two of the best centers in the competition, and right now, as you look going forward, they have some key pieces. If they can re-sign Tyler Harvey and perhaps get him as an Australian asset, all of a sudden, they have the pillars to build a championship contending team.
So that's our side of the draw. Melbourne United winning tonight over Illawarra. They are in the championship series. Let's head over to Joel Pederson and Liam Santamaria to break down how it all finished up in the West.
Well, two game threes done and dusted, and we have our grand final combatants. Welcome to the Coca-Cola cooldown from RAC Arena. Joel Pederson, Liam Santamaria with you. It's going to be Tasmania and Melbourne United for all the marbles. The Jack Jumpers here get it done by 16 points, 100 to 84. Liam, it was a clinical display.
It really was. Ultra impressive from the Jack Jumpers. A massive night of basketball overall to decide who's going to face off in that championship series. And after the home team took care of business down in Melbourne, there was a feeling like, man, maybe it might just be too hard to beat home teams in a game three. But the Jack Jumpers defied the odds yet again. A brilliantly put together game plan by Scott Roth and his coaching staff. And then just fantastic execution by the squad on the floor. They're just so solid, and that's what got it done in game three and closed out the series for them.
As John Casey told us during the call, more than 20 years since Perth had lost a game three here at their home venue. It's an extraordinary record, and to do it in the way that Tassie did it is absolutely no mean feat. They had all the answers. Every challenge the Wildcats threw at them tonight, Tassie had the answers for. They had the scoring spread. They had the defense. Pete mentioned during the game it was a masterclass in terms of what they came into the game trying to execute. Mm. Their execution was absolutely brilliant.
And let's talk about what that was. They said, Bryce Cotton's not going to beat us. He's a champion. He's a game breaker. He's a four-time MVP, a seven-time scoring champion. And in finals, he turns up and he plays big. So they said, we're going to get it out of his hands. Anytime he comes off a ball screen or a dribble handoff, we're going to double. Anytime late in the shot clock, we're going to come and throw a double at him. Just make other guys have to beat us. And so he was ultra efficient. He was their game-leading scorer. He had 21 points, Bryce Cotton. But he only took 9 shots.
Unusual.
It's not enough. 5 other guys, I think, took 8 shots. And so they were a little all over the shop as a result, Perth. And, you know, they only hit 3 threes, their lowest amount of threes for the season, because they ran them off the arc. They forced them towards the rim where they've got shot blockers in Magne and Marcus Lee. They didn't hit a 3 in the entire second half, Perth. So we can talk about the offense and McVeigh and Doyle and all the points they piled on and the fact they got into triple digits, but it was what they did at the defensive end that won them the game.
Again, another massive performance from Jack McVeigh too. 27 points, so a season high, one short of a career high, in a closeout game on the road. He's gone from being just another sort of weapon in the arsenal for Scott Roth to being maybe the weapon. He's the weapon of mass destruction at the moment for this Jack Jumpers team.
And he kills you softly, doesn't he? Because he just takes his time. He's so fundamentally sound. I think he shot about 60% from the field. He was 4 of 5 from long range. Never rushed. Just makes smart plays, makes timely plays, and just comes up big for him. When Scott Roth brought Jack McVeigh to the Jack Jumpers, he said, forget that big guard stuff. You're a power forward. You're going to be our Jesse Wagstaff. And look, he's gone beyond that in terms of being an all-league performer. But he is that in terms of just being poised, reliable, and, you know, comes up big when it matters.
And coming up big, I mean, Milton Doyle, just so smooth. 24, 9 assists. the facilitation, the ability to knock down the shot when it matters, get to the hoop. They built the first half around points in the paint, which isn't necessarily their MO. Second half, they open the game up a little bit more offensively. They start to expand things. Milton Doyle was a big part of that.
Yeah, and what was impressive about that from Doyle is that he was finding it difficult early in the game. In that first quarter in particular, he couldn't really get his rhythm, like game one here where they ended up going down. And when you've got Jordan Crawford quiet, you can't afford to also have Milton Doyle quiet. And then he just burst out of that funk, didn't he? 13 points in the second quarter. He ends up with 24, 56% from the field, a plus minus of 18. He was a superstar.
So 2 out of 3 years now, the Jack Jumpers have been in the competition. They are the newest franchise in the league. They've been here for 3 seasons. They make the grand final series in their first season. They narrowly missed it in a game 3 in New Zealand in their second season. And now they are back. Expansion teams in world sport do not do this. It is extraordinary.
It's phenomenal what they've been able to build. Now, the next bit is the championship. And, you know, there's certainly no expectation of that, because even what you just laid out is an incredible achievement in your first 3 years. But they want more. They want more. Not only Scott Roth and his squad, but all those, that Ant Army down in Tassie, they want to take that next leap, and they feel good about their matchup with Melbourne United.
What about the Wildcats? So at one stage this season, they were 2-5. They lost to Brisbane here. John really goes back to the drawing board and makes all kinds of changes. There's pressure mounting from everywhere. The Red Army, they were restless. They were raucous in all the wrong ways. And then they steady the ship. They rip off 2 6-game winning streaks throughout the season. They secure a number 2 seed, and they go down at home in game 2 in disappointing fashion, but far from disgraced.
Yeah, that's good perspective, because, you know, right after the game here, I think all their fans, themselves, I think us as well, because, you know, we want every team to be successful. Yeah, there's a bit of sadness for the way it finished up for the Wildcats on their home floor. But you're right, it was a successful season, because it was going down the gurgler early doors, and they were able to turn that around. And they earned home court advantage in the semi-finals by finishing top 2. But they just weren't able to get it done in the big game today. And I think that you can have that perspective, but this is an organization that is built to win championships, not to make the top 4. And they weren't able to get that done this year.
They were chasing a 17th grand final appearance, maybe an 11th title, and it all comes to an end. We look forward to Sunday, 4 o'clock, game 1 of the championship series, Melbourne United and Tassie in Melbourne. I mean, there's so much to like about this. The coaching element is one of it. The fact that these two have, of course, met in the playoffs before is another. What are you expecting when Sunday rolls around?
Man, it's going to be an unbelievable series. This is the series I expected heading into the playoffs, because they're the two teams playing at the highest level. And now this is what we've got. The Tassie Jack Jumpers feel pretty good about taking on Melbourne United. They feel like they match up pretty well against this team. They felt like they had some matchup issues with Perth. So Illawarra or Melbourne, whoever was going to get through, they come in with a whole bunch of confidence. Meanwhile, United think, well, this is our championship. We haven't lost 2 games in a row all season. We've got home court advantage. We've just got to close it out from here. So can't wait for it to tip off on Sunday.
It's going to be so exciting. And if the rest of this final series is anything to go by, we're going to get some really, really enthralling, spellbinding basketball. I'm about 1,000,000 degrees. I need a Coca-Cola to cool down. I don't know about you. What a night here at RAC Arena. And it's all set. Melbourne and Tassie for all the chips.
Exciting. Huge night of basketball. Right? To set, have 2 game 3s on the back end of what were outstanding series, both sides of the draw, was spectacular. And, you know, it's always a bit strange when the road team closes out a series. But huge credit to Melbourne down at John Cain Arena and the Jack Jumpers for what they did here tonight.
Absolutely. So thanks for your company. Of course, the NBL app, the NBL website, all the plays for all the news, numbers, behind-the-scenes content in the lead-up to Game 1. Sunday, 4 o'clock, Melbourne and Tassie, the start of the NBL 24 Championship Series.